The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, thanks for joining us once again. This is Paul Orlowski. You are listening to God Calling, and our guests today are Desi and Matt Gould. Welcome, first of all, to The Rock.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
You guys are married.
We are.
Tell me about your family. Desi?
Oh, okay. So, let's see. We've been married for 13 years. We have three beautiful, wonderful, rambunctious children. Maria Therese, who just turned 8. Joseph Dennis, who is 6, turning 7 this summer, and then our beautiful blessing, our third child, Basilio Michael. We call him Leo, and he just celebrated his first birthday.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Cleveland. Right. So I'm a Cleveland girl, heart to heart, like, love this land.
Yeah. What parish?
So I actually was at Blessed Sacrament, and I believe they've since closed, but Blessed Sacrament, and then I moved around quite a bit as a child, so, but all over the place.
Yeah, parochial schools?
So I went to Blessed Sacrament all the way until sixth grade, then did some switching, moved around in Parma for a little bit, ended up at St. Bridget's for a short period of time, and then off to Holy Name High School, so I am a proud member of the Green Wave.
Oh, that's beautiful. Matt, how about you? Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in Parma. Went to St. Charles Kindergarten through 8th grade.
Big parish.
Big parish. Wonderful, wonderful parish. And then from there, I also went to Holy Name High School, which is where we met. And I was at Holy Name for 2 years, then decided to transfer to Parma Senior High, which is where I ended up graduating from.
Mm-hmm. But you met in high school.
We did, yeah. Third period theology class.
It's true. He was, what, 3 seats behind me, 2 rows. We joke about it because we remember. I did not know he existed until we met at a haunted house, and he was asking me about our theology homework. And I
who
was like,
you?
Who are you? That's exactly what I said. I'm like, who are you? And then he was bit thrown, but as he likes to say, he left with my digits, which I laugh because no one says that anymore.
Well, your digits, huh? It worked.
It worked. We're old. So I did leave there with her phone number written on my hand. This was before cell phones.
You gotta do what
before
you gotta do.
Kids had cell phones, I should say.
Yes, fair enough.
How fast did you start a family?
Actually, so, gosh, we got married, and we had Maria about 5 years after we were married. We've always been open to children, so it was just waiting for God's timing. And we had Maria, and then very quickly, we're surprised with a Joseph. And then again, years later, with little Leo. So,
Matt, where's your parish now?
So we belong to Holy Trinity in Avon. Mm-hmm. The kids go to school there. We absolutely love it. Yeah. Can't say enough amazing, amazing things about that school and the support that they have given our family, you know, through our crazy journey that we had this, you know, over this last, 6 months. And, you know, they've just been incredible.
I drive by that building. I'm in Avon Lake.
Oh, yeah.
So that building, Trinity, is actually older than the cathedral downtown.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Church. Wood floors, as I recall.
Yes.
I haven't been there in a year or two, but
it's amazing.
A lot of history in that building with
lots
the cemetery
of
next door.
Amazing people. Yeah, I'm like a walking billboard for them. It's ridiculous. I'm sure they're probably sick of me, but I tell every single person about Holy Trinity, the administration, the school.
That's a great thing.
Blessed with Father Vince Hawk. He's been amazing.
A new pastor.
New pastor, correct. So he was installed in August right before this school year started.
Every marriage has challenges, and obviously we had a big one here recently, but it kind of served to draw the community closer, Trinity and other folks. Matt, you had a real bad case of COVID.
Yes. About as bad as one can have and still be here to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I got sick. It was a couple weeks before Halloween. At first, honestly, I thought it was a sinus infection. Got a little bit worse, still didn't really think anything of it. Then I lost taste and smell, and I thought, okay, this is probably COVID. So went to the doctor, got tested, it was COVID. Still, they said, you know, you're okay, just, you know, go home and ride it out. And, you know, everything was good. I kept checking my oxygen levels, and then all of a sudden, my blood oxygen levels were starting to, go low. So talked to some friends in healthcare, and they said, you better get to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the emergency room November 1st. I was admitted, pretty much immediately, and then just kind of got progressively worse. And by November 7th, they had exhausted basically all options at that point, except for to put me on a ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was still awake and with it, so I had to agree basically at that point to, go into a medically induced coma and go on to a ventilator.
People say words to you like coma and what?
Yeah, not at 37 years old and completely healthy, no pre-existing conditions, not at all what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a huge shock.
This is going to sound like a dumb question. How stressful is this? I mean, it's got to just bring it to your knees, probably.
So, yes. Actually, that's very much what happened. I physically was on my knees praying at his bedside. One of the things I would say is our marriage has always been rooted in faith. We had given a number of witnesses to a number of youth groups on marriage and that vocation, and just were active in the diocese, especially within youth ministry. And as this was unfolding, I remember everyone saying, how could this happen? How could this be? And I just said, well, we're not going against God here. We're going with him. So that's how we're going to operate. So you're either with us or you're not, but we're all in here. So that's pretty much how we addressed it. We put teams together, a medical team that could help us make decisions. Matt is fortunate that his cousin, who happens to also be, that family happens to be our best friends, family, I don't even know how to word, they're just our people.
Mm-hmm.
She works at the Cleveland Clinic, and she has a long history in nursing and in medical, and she was able to really guide me through everything. So we're just incredibly grateful that we had her walking us through each step of this. So there was a medical team, then there was also a team that was built to help the children, right?
Right.
So child life specialists, school psychologists, social workers. And beyond that, there was a very, very large faith community.
The prayer team.
A prayer team, for sure. So we called upon every single person we knew, and I sent updates every single day. And those updates basically said, listen, this isn't a secret. We need prayers right now. We need a miracle. And tell your neighbor, tell your friend, tell the clerk at Target. I don't care. Tell everybody, we are praying my husband home. And they did. And those messages were getting passed on throughout mm-hmm. the entire Northeast Ohio. Probably beyond that.
Probably true. Stay right where you are. We're going to take a break and come back and pick it up right there, as a matter of fact, right here on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We hope you'll stay tuned as well. Desi and Matt Gould, our guests on God Calling, they're from Holy Trinity in Avon, Ohio. And Matt, when all this is going on, the drill sergeant over here getting her teams ready, which is a good thing. Were you aware of what was going on, or what was it like?
No, I was totally unaware. So the last thing that I remember was, the doctors explaining the medically induced coma and how that all works. Desi was actually at church at Holy Trinity when they're explaining all this to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm obviously calling her, frantic.
Sure.
She was able to bring me communion. So right before, I was put into the coma, I was able to receive communion, which was helped to calm my nerves as much as they could be calmed. And then once I went into the coma, I don't have any, everybody always asks, did you remember anything? Do you hear people talking to you? Any crazy dreams? And for the most part, not really. I mean, it was kind of like I went to sleep and then I woke up. And when I woke up, it was, you know, over 2 months later.
2 months?
Yeah, it was two months.
Oh, my goodness.
A little over 2 months.
That I wasn't aware of.
Those were a long 2 months.
I bet they were.
Yes.
So they kept trying to wake me up and wean me off of the, you know, the sleepy medicine, as we called it for the kids.
Yeah.
And every time they would, my stats would crash and I would have, you know, complications. All so right. Then they would put me back under.
Desi, it's hard to imagine. 2 months.
Yes. So he was on a ventilator, and he was in a coma, and he was not doing much better, so they had to add an ECMO machine. And an ECMO machine essentially serves as, what's the best way to describe it? You do such a good job describing it. You think I would have, you're so good at describing it, though, Matt.
So it's basically an artificial
heart
and lung machine.
Oh, okay.
So it was invented for heart operations. So that they could stop your heart to operate on your heart.
Right.
And it would take the place of your heart, you know, circulating your blood. But what they found is with COVID, for people that were in really, really, really bad shape, it could help their lungs heal and it could do the job of your lungs.
So it's doing the work so your lungs can heal.
Correct. In other words, it's exchanging, because the problem with COVID is it causes your lungs to not be able to exchange the gases properly.
Right.
So to filter out the CO2 and replenish the oxygen. So the machine basically does that for your body. But there's also a whole bunch of risks and side effects that can come along with it being on it for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because that is not what it was designed to do.
I got it.
It was kind of, in a lot of ways, what they would refer to kind of as a last-ditch effort, right? Which we were really hopeful for, and so we just stayed confident in our prayer and steadfast in prayer in that regard.
Is there ever a tendency, you're on the outside, still feeling okay, he's on the inside, not close, possibly, to death. Is there ever a tendency to play the blame game? Why did this happen? How could this happen to him? That sort of thing?
So I didn't, and I will tell you, and it's interesting, I actually was just having a conversation with some of my girls from my Bible study, and they reminded me of a couple things that happened right before he got sick. I actually, and I feel like I had to sound like a crazy person looking back, but I kept saying I felt like our family was under a spiritual attack. I'm like, something's coming. And now I look at it and I think I'm not crazy, but in mid-October, I'm sure I sounded like a nut. I was, you know, I just had a baby. I have a 4-month-old. I'm not sleeping a lot, you know. But I kept telling people, I was like, I think we are there's a spiritual attack happening, and it's happening to our family, and I don't know what's coming, but something is about to happen. And I will say, as things started to unfold, I was so confident we were being attacked, and the only way to fight that was to get people to pray and to convert and to still build the kingdom. That's how I felt. That's what my heart was telling me we had to do. So I sent these updates. I asked everyone to pray. And we started to see that people were so invested. They were reaching out saying things like, I have never touched my rosary. I got this as a gift in second grade and I've never touched it. And I've prayed it every day for the healing. Because I used to serve as the chairperson for North Coast Spirit Tech Teens Encounter Christ, which is amazing, wonderful program in the diocese. And in serving that, you build this incredibly large prayer community, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have this community that's then going to their other communities, and you meet all these religious and sisters and priests, and they become our good friends. And at one point, I'll never forget, Father Ed Sosinski says to me, who's one of our close friends, he's actually my son Joey's godfather, he says, I feel like Matt is the Kevin Bacon of the church right now, like 6 degrees of Kevin Matt, or of Matt Cool, because he's like, everywhere I go, they're already praying for him. Like our good friend Sister Anna Rose, she is with the TORs, and mm-hmm. she said people would come to us and they would say, you have to add Matt Gould, you know, and she's like, we're already on it. Like, it was just amazing to see like how far it was going and like how many people's hearts were changed in the course of this. Like, you saw people going back to church and praying with their young kids. Like, maybe they didn't want to take their kids to church. They made noise. And I was like, I don't care how much noise they make, because right. the church is alive and the priest needs to know that. So bring them. And when people would ask me, what can you do? Or what can we do? What can we do for you? I would say, go to church, pray a rosary. Do, like, I was giving them very specific things, because I was like, this is what we need right now. Like, I'm not, My kids will live off grilled cheese if they have to. I'm like, I'm not worried about the food right now. We got to get our prayers here because we got to get him home. And a lot of that was in my own prayer.
Sure. Man, what did it do for your faith coming out of it, knowing this army of people had been praying for you and maybe saved your life?
It was extremely humbling. You know, when I was on that ECMO for 77 days, which is, as it sits, the all-time record at the Cleveland Clinic, from my understanding.
Something you don't want to be
the Something champion. You don't necessarily want to have the record for. To the point that, you know, pretty much the whole medical team, not that they had given up hope, but, you know, they were telling Desi that, you know, at this point, we're basically just waiting for a complication to take his life.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do everything we can. We're not giving up. But basically, there's no indication that, you know, he's going to get better and come out of this. So when I did get better and was able to get off of the ECMO machine, I had a couple of the doctors at the Cleveland Clinic tell me, I have zero medical explanation for how you're alive. You know, it truly is a miracle. You know, obviously they knew the faith that my wife had and saw her praying the rosary on her knees next to my bed every day for months. And, you know, I think it just showed them the power of prayer, because, like I said, I mean, they straight out just said, I have zero medical explanation for how you're alive. It's a miracle. You know, enjoy mm-hmm. your second chance at life. And it's humbling, you know, to
sure.
even now, like everywhere we go within the diocese, you know, we're very active within the church. And I'll have people come up to me that, honestly, I have no idea who they are. And it's, you know, I've been praying for you for months. It's so great to see you back home with your family. And it's very touching and, you know, very humbling. It's definitely, I think, strengthened our family's faith, strengthened our kids' faith. You know, Joey, our son, who's, you know, 6, soon to be 7, we were driving in the car and just randomly he said, Daddy, if Jesus didn't heal you, you would have died.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, you're right. You're right, buddy. You know,
stay right there. We're going to be back. I'm God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. And we're going to be back with Desi and Matt Gould right after these messages. Desi and Matt Gould joining us on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We're here every week at this time. And Matt had just described a long stint in the hospital and the probably just as trying for you, Desi, the time outside. But ultimately, other people's lives were changed is what it sounds like. Certainly your lives, but other folks who maybe went back to the rosary, maybe went back to church, maybe started taking their kids to church. Is that the secondary blessing, maybe?
I think that's, I mean, the ultimate blessing, really. Mm-hmm. I think for us, a couple things. One was we used our faith, right? Like, we have this faith. We practiced this faith. We needed this faith, you mm-hmm. know? So we used it. And so one example would be Matt's Aunt Lisa. She was formerly the vice president, one of the vice presidents of EWTN,
right.
And was very close to Mother Angelica. We knew she needed a miracle. So believing in that, we used, you know, her intercession. So oftentimes we would pray through the intercession of Mother Angelica for his healing.
Mm-hmm.
We were blessed by friends that let us use a first degree relic.
First class relic.
First class relic of St. Teresa of Lisieux. So she was with us in the hospital room the entire time. She remains in our home currently as we pray for complete healing for Matt. I would bless Matt every single day with water from Lourdes or from Rhoda Wise. I mean, we channeled our faith, right? In every single way we could think to channel our faith throughout this journey. One of our great friends at the time, my daughter always says he was Deacon Joe at the time, but now Father Joe Mankhouse, he had come to the hospital and actually taught me this profound way to pray over Matt, some theology in regards to how the two become one and how I hold authority over his body at this time. And I would pray over Matt and I would say, in the name of Jesus, your lungs are healed. In the name of Jesus, may your mind be healed. May your hands be healed and you hold your child again, you know? And I did that every single day mm-hmm. after he taught me that. So yes, we were, I think part of it is we had all these people that were engaging in the faith, but we were also learning how to use our faith fully during this very trying time. And I always told people, I ended every update with Jesus, I trust in you, because in my prayer initially, it was quite simple. I had to be all in, even if it wasn't what I wanted. I had to have complete faith and trust, and that was really, really hard to give up. But I was in complete surrender. There was a gentleman that was across the hall from Matt, and this is really, I think, says a lot about Matt's character here. There was a gentleman across the hall from Matt who was also on an ECMO machine from Indianapolis, and his wife had and I were talking, and he was not in a good place, and he likely wasn't going to make it. And I had asked her, you know, I knew she was Catholic, and I said, has a priest been here yet? And she said, oh, no, I keep asking if a priest is going to come, but I'm not, you know, they haven't left a card, so I'm not really sure, like, if there's been a priest here. And I said, I have a father section on my phone. I can start at number one and go, you know, work my way down. Like, do you want me to get a priest here? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm getting a priest here, whether you want it or not. But she said, yes, of course. And again, another shout out to Father Ed, because he was one of the first ones I ended up calling that day. And he came out and he, you know, anointed him, and he died shortly after that. Mm-hmm. What we know is, I remember Father saying, he looked at me and he goes, you know what? His soul is clean. He slid right into heaven. And I remember telling Matt this story, and he goes, if we suffered and we went through all of this, I know that guy got to heaven. So that was pretty profound. And I think it says a lot about Matt's character that he's like that. That's enough for him. Yeah. And he'd do it all over.
And you get out of the hospital. Have you gone back and look at, his Facebook posts and all the prayers and the this list and that list? I have. So
I have. So we actually took some time about a week and a half ago in a chapel, you know, during adoration, to kind of go back and go through all of Dez's updates that she was sending out daily. Mm-hmm. And we didn't make it through all of them because it was so many days.
Yeah.
You know, it ended up being 5.5 months. Because I went into the hospital November 1st. And then by the time I got out of the rehab center, it was the Wednesday before Easter.
Okay. Now, what's your prognosis now?
So the prognosis now, I'm still on oxygen.
Right.
It's weaning down. So we keep praying for complete healing. Currently, I have like 50 to 60% lung function, which, you know, sounded horrible to me. But when, according to the doctor, based on everything I went through and how long it's been that I've been out of the hospital, he was happy with those numbers. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go back in another 3 months and basically repeat the same tests. There was no guarantees that I would be able to get off of the oxygen, but the doctor was confident, you know, that I had a good chance.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at.
Desi, what's the lesson in all of this? Prayer works. Never lose sight of prayer, I suppose, in your
life. Yeah, I mean, I think, I remember at one point Matt looked at me and he goes, you did it. I didn't do anything. Jesus did everything. But what I will say is that was it. I did surrender. I went totally surrendering. I was in complete prayer. And, you know, we were made to be in community. And that's how he made us. He made us to be in community. And we called upon that community and we grew that community together. And we're very, very grateful.
Right? Well, the community is grateful as well, I'm sure, because it's a prayer does work. We certainly know
Amen.
That. Guys, thanks for joining us. This is Paul Orlowski. You have been listening to God Calling. We hope you'll listen each and every week at this time, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.